Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Tuesday, February the 23rd. Today's guests will include Pro Stock Champ Erica Ender Stevens, and later on in the show we'll be joined by Camping World Truck Series driver Travis Quapple. First time for him, driving for Make Motorsports, friends of mine, and he had a pretty good finish at Daytona. Speaking of which, NHRA was off this weekend. They'll be back in off this past weekend. They'll be back in action this coming weekend out at Phoenix. So we'll get Erica's take on that. She didn't have a stellar run at the start of her season. Didn't come off the way it wanted. So we'll talk to her in a couple of minutes. Of course, we have all the audio from the past weekend out at Daytona. Biggest event of the year for all three NASCAR series. Of course, then we'll talk to Travis about the new 20-minute rule. Well, that's something I didn't understand. It was a little tough to follow, but he might know a little better because he's got to drive with it in place. So, anyway, this week, looking ahead in NASCAR, it will be moving ahead to Atlanta, a little further north, for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. Of course, that'll be on Fox at 1 p.m. So we'll just have to tune into there. So, as we await our guest, we can take your calls in a little bit. The number 646-649-1899. And tell me what you think about the Daytona 500. It's a pretty quick race, no big ones to talk about. So we'll just have to wait to see how that goes. Anyway, the Xfinity Series in play. This weekend, of course, got to see some new colors on some of the cars. Interesting finish to the race. No big wreck. A couple little small ones. Didn't start. It started out well for Chase Elliott, and he had some problems early in the race and was able to finish running, but not good way a pole sitter would want to start. Of course, we have some audio from this past weekend. So we'll be playing some audio. We have the winning team, second and third place finishers, all in Toyotas. Toyota place in the top three. I think it's the first time they've ever won a Daytona, let alone all three. Actually, I think Kenseth won in a Toyota, but I can't remember if it was with Roush or the Gibbs. But Martin Truex running Toyotas this year up front. Well, anyway, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest, and I guess a friend of the show because she's been on so often, NHRA Pro Stock Champion Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I tried to get you on before the season, but you were testing at Phoenix, which is this coming weekend. But Pomona didn't seem to turn out the way you guys wanted it to. Looks like you broke on round one and that was it.
Yep, Sunday was over pretty much before it started. So certainly not the start we wanted to the season, but you know, it's just part of the deal, and there's going to be growing pains associated with all of these changes. I'm very confident of that.
Oh, I know, and that's the thing, too. It's just weird seeing the car with the fuel injection without the big scoop sitting on the top. How is it adjustment to actually have some visibility out the windshield?
I don't particularly care for it, but it's part of the program, I guess. I mean, I've always had something blocking my windshield, whether it be a hood scoop or a blower or whatever. So it's definitely a change as far as your view is concerned. But, you know, when you're in the left lane, you no longer have to look around the hood scoop to see the Christmas tree. And it's kind of just a wide open view at that point.
Now, it seems like a lot of the Chevys run Elite Motorsports motors, and so I guess you can get a lot of R&D that way. What have you been able to take since, you know, putting the new fuel injection system into the car and being able to run it? Do you see the performance is any different, or is it pretty much the same way as it was with a carburetor?
No, it's definitely different with the fuel injection. We're down quite a bit of horsepower, you know, but it's just going to take time to kind of catch up with this new program. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely have a handful of GM Elite Performance engines out there, and I don't know, it's just very, very different. I mean, you have to run the cars completely different. So across the board, I'd say everybody's down about 40 to 50 horsepower, and you know, that's something that'll come back with time, but right now everybody's kind of at a deficit.
Well, as long as it's a level playing field, it seems like everything was the same. Then you win your first championship, and they change the tires and the fuel. Then you win your second championship, and now they play with the fuel system of the cars.
They like to change things. So it's, you know, hopefully moving forward and in the right direction. It's just, like I said, it's going to take time. I mean, they made this rule mandatory in Denver last year. So it was the end of July, beginning of August, and they told us we were going to be switching to fuel injection January 1 of 2016. And think about all the teams and cars out there and how many systems have to be produced. And K&N still had yet to design the like intake system as far as getting the air from the front of the car up into the intake manifold. And that took a lot of the winter, and my crew chief, Rick Jones, was a big part of designing that. So that was pretty cool. But, you know, just getting the parts and stuff from Holley, and it was definitely an uphill battle for everybody. You know, it was a very quick turnaround, and the season has already started. There wasn't a lot of on-track testing at all through the off-season. So everybody's, you're right, in the same boat. So it's just one of those deals. We gotta all work through the growing pains, and there's a pretty big learning curve associated with it, but we'll get there and we'll be fine.
Well, that's good to hear, because I want to see you win your third straight championship, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Well, of course you would. I mean, you know, since you've been on the show and talking all this time, I know I got limited time today, but I've become a big fan of yours, and I pretty much blab about you to everybody. So I know I'm supposed to be impartial, but, you know, when you like your driver and what they've accomplished and the struggles you have to go through to do it, being an underdog from where you started, so it's just amazing to do that. So I just have to say that right now.
Well, thank you very much.
So you did test out at Phoenix. What are you looking forward to? What came away from the test that you could probably apply this weekend? Because,
well, I mean, you know, I guess just track and atmospheric conditions will probably be pretty similar. Phoenix's weather is pretty standard. Being out in the desert, it's typically warm and dry. And, you know, we've always tested at Phoenix on the way to Pomona because it's just en route pretty much, and a lot of the cars just meet up there and do some testing. But you know, I spent a few days there prior to Pomona, and we get to head back there. I'm leaving tomorrow, so Phoenix is kind of like a second home track to me because my family they're from out there, and we do a lot of testing out there, so we've had success there in the past. And I think we won there in 2013, and then last year I was in the final round and my car broke, but we made it to the finals, so it was kind of one of those lucky tracks. So I'm hopeful that that is the that trend continues there.
Well, that's good, and so do I hope so here. I know on the off season you had your big team hunting trip, and your sister got married. So I just got to plug what your sister does on the show, because maybe one day we'll get her on. Maybe you could talk to her, see if she wants to come on.
Yeah, she'd probably like that. But yeah, it was a crazy off season, and then Courtney got married at the end of January. Her and Adam got married in the Caymans, so that was really pretty and fun and all of that. And she actually moved to Pennsylvania, which is where he's from. So she's up in Yankee land, and I don't know. It's crazy. Lots of changes.
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania. I used to be from the Philly area, so it's used to be my home base out there.
Yeah, that's cool. They're actually living around Reading, which is where the racetrack is. But my mom's from Pennsylvania. My stepmom's from Pennsylvania. My dad's from New York. So it's kind of close to home, I guess, up there.
You're surrounded by a Yankee family.
I am. We're as Southern could be, Courtney and I, and we come from two Yankees.
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
I know she's going to be fighting off the urge to eat pretzels and cheesesteaks and hoagies up there, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That and that's a big challenge, and then the snow, because, being from Houston, you never had winters like that, so she's definitely adjusting up there. And they actually got home from their honeymoon, and there was like some huge snowstorm, and they had 30 some odd inches of snow on the ground, and she was just like, "What the heck?" But it's all good.
That's for sure. Yeah, she got. I think it was called. It was the winter storm Jonas that hammered everybody. I got like 12 inches down here in the mountains of Southern Virginia, so.
Really?
I guess unless you were really further south.
Yeah, all the people that had flown to the Caymans for the wedding, they got kind of stranded down there because they couldn't fly through to Charlotte or to Philly, and the whole East Coast was pretty much shut down. So everybody was forced to stay a couple extra days in the Caymans, which was not a bad thing.
No, it sounds like a nice place to enjoy some downtime, and with the wedding being that way, you probably had a chance to have a lot of fun and keep racing that of your mind. But I guess once the season starts, it's all back to business.
Oh, yeah. Yep, for sure.
Well, I guess I better let you go to tend to what you need to do. I know we usually go on for quite some time, so... I promised Lee I'd keep it short, so.
Well, I'll make it up to you. I'll come back on anytime, and just got a jam-packed day full of appointments and stuff. I'm leaving tomorrow for Phoenix, so I'm excited, to get the season underway and just continue to learn more about this new program. And, I've gotten a lot of emails and Facebook messages like, why in the world would you switch to Mopar, blah, blah, blah. I just want to tell everybody, hold on. We'll be back where we were.
Mopar. You got to, like I said, it's all a little testing and all that. You'll get it down. If anybody will get it down quick, it'll be you. I mean, some people take a little longer. Some people hit it right off the bat, and it looks good, but it's, your company builds the motors that runs the Chevys. So as long as they run Chevys, you can draw on all that information. Like you said, it's getting all the parts in, getting them all tuned up. But Phoenix is another week, and I know you'll bounce back. It's better to get this problem stuff out of the way early and finish out the season
absolutely.
Strong.
We got the rest of the year and got the countdown, so we'll be good to go.
Sounds good. All right, Erica, thanks again for coming on the show. Always a pleasure to have you. And... good luck this weekend at Phoenix. Hope things don't break. Because I know if they didn't break, you'd have made it deep into the field. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And we had Erica Ender Stevens joining us live on the air here at Garage Talk Live. You want to give us a call real quick? The number is 646-649-1899. And always have her on. She does come on pretty much whenever she's available. And, you know, when I look at all the series champs that have come on this show since I started it way back in 2001 under another name, it's been surreal. I figure I've had Erica on for Pro Stock, John Force, Robert Height for Funny Car, Sean Langdon, Larry Dixon in Top Fuel, and all the Truck Series champs that have been on, and Pro Stock Motorcycle champs, and not Pro Stock Motorcycle, AMA Motorcycle champ, Ricky Gadsden, who actually came down to the old studio I was at, because he lived in the area, which made it real easy, but Nationwide champs. The only ones who can't get are the Cup Series. And that's a thought by doing the show on Tuesdays now. Well, I'm going to reach out a little more to that. And there's still a couple people I want to get. So, we'll have to deal with that. I'd like to give a shout out to my friend from PRN, Steve Richards. Landing a job with Junior Motorsports for the Dirty Mo Radio podcast producer. So it's good to him. He always met him at my old home track of the Dover International Speedway, the Monster Mile, a place I frequented twice a year for quite a long time. And I've met a lot of friends there as well. Like, there's a good article this I saw in online, of course, the Washington Post, written by Liz Clark, and the 15-year anniversary of the passing of Dale Earnhardt, which was on the 19th of this month, February. And she did write a book about him that I do have, and she autographed it, of course. Lovely lady, and she doesn't do motorsports anymore. But when the newspapers cut back, she got transferred to other things. She's still, a sports writer, but she has to do news and things. Well, we'll get her on to talk about something. Maybe next week I'll try to hook back up with her, and not that way, you know. You meet these people from seeing them week in and week out. I mean, race in and race out at the certain tracks. I mean, she used to travel to all the tracks, but Dover, being the Washington Post out of D.C., Dover and Richmond are probably the two closest ones she's been to. So, usually they send you to the closer tracks there is, but she was a regular on the show, and I mean, not a show, on the at the track, and always caught up with her. So, anyway, let's get into some of the weekend's events. We'll start with, we'll start with the Truck Series. This way, we'll. Catch up with when Travis calls in. We can discuss that. He actually led once for two laps. And probably the best run I've seen for Make Motorsports in a while. So they got something going on. They've been driving the running Chevy, so that's good to see. Johnny Sauter, who was a past champion, who started outside the front row, did wind up taking the checkered flag. Of course, towards the end, there was a 16-truck pile up. There were 7 cautions for 29 laps. And there was a 27-minute red flag after that. So on lap 94, was they had the big one, and a whole bunch of trucks wound up in that. And there was another mini one on the final lap. But it's good to see. And Ryan, it's good to see a good run for Travis, finishing 5th after starting 32nd. I know that Make Motorsports isn't a huge team. They're a one-vehicle team. And they don't run all the races, but everybody has to run Daytona. So it was a really good showing. That'll help maybe track down some sponsors. Ryan Truex taking home the 2nd spot. And Parker Kligerman was 3rd. Brandon Brown, here's a name I don't recognize, came home 4th. Travis Quappel, 6th. 5th, 6th was Tyler Young. Ben Rhodes, 7th. He's been on the show before. He would go for Junior Motorsports a couple times last year. Daniel Hemric was 8th, 9th, Scott Lagacy Jr. And 10th is Matt Crafton. In the points now, in the polls, believe it or not, was won by former ARCA Series champ Grant Enfinger, so oh, Amanda's listening. 2 truck teams and full time with both. So it's good to see that. And so we'll have Travis on in a little bit. I've been out of the loop for some time. And so we'll get to that in a little bit. And big news, another news in IndyCar, they have named Max Pappas as vice president of the series, and he'll be vice president of competition and race engineering. So, hopping out of the driver's seat into the office, it's going to be kind of strange. He used to work with some of the most respected teams in IndyCar, which including Chip Ganassi and Ray Hall Letterman, Dale Coyne, and technical director for KV Racing. So it's just amazing to see that he did run some NASCAR races too, especially the road courses. I remember seeing him in some of the road racing events in the Xfinity and Cup Series as well. But he'll be replacing Will Phillips, who will be leaving in March. So congrats to Max. He helped Juan Pablo Montoya win his first Indianapolis 500 in 2000 when he won with Ganassi. And, of course, Montoya did it again last year, of course, with Roger Penske. Which is weird when Ganassi let Montoya go because he was bringing in a young rookie by the name of Kyle Larson. Montoya went back to IndyCar and went to work for the main competition, Roger Penske. So, seems like those guys trade drivers regularly. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So when anybody steps out of the seat, hangs up the helmet, moves into the office, at least they're staying in there. And who knows, he could bring some insight into the progression of the Indy car division, you know, IndyCar, Verizon IndyCar World Series, as they call it, because they do run Indy Lights and, you know, they have their own little farm system, just like NASCAR does with Xfinity and the trucks and the K&N Pro East and West. And that's how you grow your talent. But it's just how things go. Anyway, the racing season is still young. Or we've already had some action-packed stuff. And it just seems to be getting better and better. Of course, the Camping World Truck Series, which I think is the most fun series to watch week in and week out. Anyway, heads off to Atlanta for the Georgia 200 this Saturday. So they go from one high-speed track to another, but the only difference is you're losing a mile in distance in the in the length of the track, but the speeds, believe it or not, are pretty close because Daytona, they're pretty restricted to horsepower, and Atlanta, they're not. The draft may or may not come into play, but you won't have those stretches of the freight train, so it should be pretty interesting to watch at that. So look for another fun weekend, and I'll be sitting in front of the TV watching, setting the DVR for the stuff that I can't watch live and catching up with that just for next week. So wait and see. In the Xfinity Series, Daytona 500 pole winner was the winner of that race. Setting the stage for another run, but he's not running for a championship this year. He was in the 88 car for Junior Motorsports with another close finish with a battle with Joey Logano at the end. They were side by side. Logano's front end rubbed Elliott's right rear quarter panel, pushed it in, and Elliott was able to hold off the charge and not get wrecked to take the checkered flag. Casey Kane came home third. Elliott Sadler was fourth. Austin Dillon was fifth. Darrell Wallace Jr. sixth. Seventh was Brandon Jones. Eighth, Daniel Suarez. And Blake Koch was ninth. And Brendan Vaughn wound up tenth. Blake Koch was on the show last year when he was in the because he was going for running at Daytona in the Coke Zero 400. There were four cautions for 17 laps and 19 lead changes amongst nine drivers. Dillon was on the pole, but that was Ty Dillon, and he wound up with a 13th place finish. So, that being said, I'd like to welcome to the show for the very first time, driver for Make Motorsports in the Camping World Truck Series, the one and only Travis Quapel. Travis, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And looks like you had a pretty good run at Daytona, and avoiding all the mess that happened behind you and towards the end of that race.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was kind of our plan all day long. Make Motorsports, we're a tiny little team, and just don't have the latest and greatest equipment. So I knew I didn't have a truck that was going to be able to, get to the front, lead the pack, be a top 4, 5, 6 truck all day long. So I didn't want to be, kind of in the middle of the mess, like 10th to 20th. I just didn't want to be in that 3 wide, nowhere to go pack. So I elected just kind of ride around the back of the pack all day and keep our nose clean. And you could see it was escalating, and there was trouble brewing. And luckily we were able to stay out of the mess and the big one there in turn 3, and put ourselves in a position to get a good finish.
That's pretty good, because I've friends with Make Ownership and Brain Trust there, from Tracy and Mark and Amanda and all that. Met them years ago at the Monster Mile, which is not an easy place to race, no matter what division you're in. And the Truck Series always seems to be, week in, week out, the most competitive division, I think, in NASCAR, as it is anyway. And for you to bring it home in a top 5 really shows a lot to your driving ability and puts them on the map a little better, which should help you guys out in the long run with that 5th-place finish. Of course, Daytona, known for the big one. Apparently, the Truck Series was the only one that had a big one this past weekend. And But they had new rules come into play.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think, the Truck Series, the race at Daytona, for me, is probably the most fun you can have as a driver. It's... obviously you're at Daytona Speedway, what a spectacle that is. And then, the trucks, they just draft so well, and they punch such a big hole in the air. The effect of the draft is so much greater, I guess, is kind of what I'm trying to say. And you get 2-3 trucks in front of you side by side, man, they punch a big hole and you can really draw up in that draft. So it's just a lot of fun, and I've got a bunch of experience in doing it, so I kind of felt like I had a pretty good idea how the race was going to play out. And I've been in a position to win that race 3 or 4 times and haven't been able to quite pull it off. I've had some really close 2nd and 3rd place finishes, but I would venture to say Make Motorsports is probably one of the smallest teams out there competitive, competing week in and week out. And like I said earlier, we don't have the equipment to go out there and just outright lead the pack or, run up front. But, we had to play our strategy right. And it was great. It was a great finish for us. And definitely a big shot in the arm for Make Motorsports. Gets us a great start of the year, puts the truck in the team in a great position in the points early on. And like I said, just build that momentum and continue to get better every week, and just try to grow the program 1 week at a time.
The thing that gets me now, NASCAR implemented this 20-minute caution period rule.
Yeah.
What on earth are they trying to do to the best series in the division?
Man, I don't know. I think it adds another element to it. For obviously there's a lot of action for the fans in the stands or watching on TV when there's restarts and those first couple laps when the trucks are all up on top of each other. And for us competitors, it adds another element of strategy in the mix too. So it'll be interesting to see how much that rule comes into effect and how it plays out. But, there's a handful of tracks where we go to. It's really going to play into the strategy of getting track position and playing that just right to get yourself, timing that hitting pit road before the caution comes out. And then, you know, just plan that different strategies to, you know, to help you out to get that track position, especially towards the end of the race. So, you know, I think it's something, you know, NASCAR is pretty smart. You know, they don't do a lot of things without giving it a lot of thought and kind of looking into each avenue of how it's going to play out. So, you know, I think when a lot of people thought of the chase or heard about the chase format or the, you know, the eliminations and all this, I think people, you know, might have kind of thought negatively about it at first. And I think if you look at last year's Sprint Cup Series chase, it was phenomenal. And you can, you know, so exciting to come down right at the end of the race and who was going to be the champion. And, you know, I think just trying to keep it exciting, you know, keep it, you know, new and you know, just something for the fans to be drawn into is pretty cool. And, you know, we'll have our own chase this year too. So it's going to be a lot of different changes in the truck series and be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but you touched on it a little bit about the implementation of the new chase. Mm-hmm. I think when they redesigned the chase for the Sprint Cup Series for the past couple of years, last year was probably one of the most exciting finishes to their season, with the fact that, you know, they upped it to 16 drivers and eliminated four for every third race.
Mm-hmm.
And with the truck series, though, you only have, what, 25 races a year. So how many? It's just, I'm just kind of figure out how the elimination is going to work. Is it winning you're in, and of course then you could work on mm-hmm. other stuff, which actually years ago the old format would reward consistency, and here there's more of an emphasis on winning and consistency, because
yeah.
there's guys that don't win that get in the chase that make it all the way to the final round.
Yeah, it definitely puts an emphasis on winning, in particular, you know, once you're in the chase, and you can't just score good points days anymore and expect to be the champion. You really have to go out there and compete for wins, you know, to get in and then eventually to be the champion. So it'll be interesting to see how it works on the truck series. You know, 23 races is our schedule, so a lot less. You know, it's only two truck series, you know, drivers, not any other of the cup guys that, you know, race here and there. And so, you know, the field's pretty small to begin with. I'd like to think we have a shot at it. You know, we're definitely going to go out there and race as hard as we can every week and try to gather up as much points as we can. And, you know, I think we would be a long shot to make the chase. You know, there's so many good teams out there and strong competitors, and, you know, we're one of the underdogs for sure, but we're definitely going to put our best foot forward and give it all we got. And, you know, honestly, I don't even know what the format is or how many races or, you know, or how many trucks they even take at the end of the year. I just know we got to go to Daytona and then on to Atlanta and on to Martinsville and get the best results we can. And, you know, we get a few months into the season, we'll kind of see where we all shake out.
Speaking of Atlanta this weekend, going from Daytona, you're going from a format where everybody's all bunched together on a track that's 2.5 miles long down to 1.5 miles, what we call cookie cutter, but the speeds are still up there. So mm-hmm. what comes into play for you when you go from Daytona to Atlanta and strategies involved?
Yeah, well, Atlanta is definitely one of those places where you got to have the whole package. You really have to have a good handling race truck, and you have to have a lot of horsepower to get you down the straightaways. More and more, every year we go to Atlanta, the emphasis becomes more and more on handling. That track is the, you know, the track surface is old and pretty wore out, and it's rough, bumpy, really chews up the tires. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, like I said, really work on our handling package well and take care of the tires, get a setup in there that's, you know, kind of good for the long run. So, you know, I like Atlanta a lot, man. It's a really cool racetrack. You can run down by the apron and all the way up against the wall and everywhere in between. You can run 3-4 wide there. And, searching for grip. So when you're on new tires, you have a lot of grip, and you know, probably run around there wide open. And as the laps go, when the tires wear out, you're searching different lines and looking for different grip and trying to get your truck to handle the best. So it's a lot of fun. I wish we could race there more often. It's one of the neater mile and a half set we go to. It's got a lot of character to it. So hopefully we can come out of there with a good day. You know, we got a lot of momentum on our side right now, and we'll just go down there and put our best foot forward and give it our best effort, and we'll see how it shakes out Saturday night.
And that's another cool thing. A lot more night races for the truck series, and the races are shorter, so there's a lot less time to, like the Cup Series, we have 500 miles or 500 laps, depending on the track. Here you only got a couple hundred and race in and race out. So decisions have to be made, I guess, fairly quick because the end comes up a lot sooner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I got a lot of Cup races under my belt. And, if you have something go wrong throughout the day, a lot of times you can work your way back through it and still come out with a good finish. It's, the Truck Series, it's you have to be up on the wheel every lap. You can't just ride around and get them later type attitude. You got to go. You get one or two chances to come to pit road and work on your truck, make adjustments. So it's a lot quicker paced event. You 200 miles goes pretty quick. So the key is going to be, like I said, working on practice and getting some laps in and getting the handling of the truck the best we can. And it's going to be a unique day down there at Atlanta Motor Speedway with it's a doubleheader. First time they've done that with the Xfinity race and the Truck Series race at the same day. So that's going to be kind of cool to see how that works out. Hopefully it really works well for the fans and we have a good crowd there.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I know the only doubleheader you have usually is the race you guys do at Pocono with the ARCA series, where you both run about 50 laps each, which
yeah,
kind of strange, but it seemed to work well, so I guess they figured they'd try it with the Xfinity series. And I guess it's more bang for the buck for the fan perspective. You buy one ticket and you sit and watch two races, so
I'm sure it's a lot easier for people to get there on a Saturday afternoon than a Friday evening too. So hopefully that bodes well for both series and we're able to put a few more fans in the stands.
Well, that's the name of the game, because the more people that see you guys, the more people like the racing as it is anyway. And I guess the only thing worries about is like you could take an extra day, I guess, for the team to get to the track instead of being there that day earlier to race on a Friday night or a Thursday night.
Yeah, buys you a little more time. The teams check in on Thursday. We'll have our inspection day, then I think we practice qualifying Friday. So, we're the first couple of weeks are back to back. Then we got a pretty big break before we go to Martinsville. So, we need to just go to Atlanta and kind of get through it, and hopefully we come out of there with good results, and we kind of got a month to regroup before we go short track racing at Martinsville.
Which is another ordeal in itself as well, because everybody's bunched up on that little tight paperclip.
Yeah, it's tight racing there. Well, that takes you back to your roots of Friday and Saturday night short track racing, and we had a good run there last fall, so looking forward to getting back to Martinsville for sure, but first things first, we'll get our CorvetteParts.net Chevy to Atlanta and see how we can do, man. Daytona was really good to us. Hopefully we can just carry some momentum and carry it on to Saturday night.
That's for sure. And we wish you the best of luck Saturday night and the rest of the team as well. So thank you for coming on the show and hope to have you back on. It's been fun.
All right, sounds good, man. Well, thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care now.
Yeah.
Bye. There you have Travis Quappel, driver for the number 50 Make Motorsports Chevrolet. two truck team running full time this year, and thanks to Mike and Amanda for putting this together. I know she's been busy trying to figure out a schedule, so I've kept everybody's interviews short today, and hopefully they can get stuff taken care of. Anyway, back to the Sprint Cup Series. It came down to the wire, literally the wire. The racing was that close. Of course, if you did see the finish, 3 hours and 10 minutes and 25 seconds long. The average speed was 157.54 miles an hour. There were six cautions for 31 laps. That's it. Clean race. They're probably one of the cleanest Daytonas ever. 20 lead changes amongst 15 drivers. The lead changes are usually pretty good at restrictor plate racing because of the draft and where you can be at any given time, whether the outside, the inside, you get the momentum, or if the inside pulls ahead of you, it depends on who's drafting you. Your leaders were Chase Elliott, who led early, so he had some problems. He led pole sitter. So another rookie on the pole. He led once for three laps, the first three laps, and then he got drafted past, and it was a chore after him driving the number 24 Napa Chevy for Hendrick Motorsports. It's the first race taking over for Jeff Gordon, who was in the booth as an analyst and actually did a pretty good job. If you were like me, you had some friends over watching the race and enjoying some beverages and some food, and kind of like the NASCAR, being it's the NASCAR Super Bowl, it doesn't have the same effect as the Super Bowl party, but anyway, it was Denny Hamlin taking the checkered flag by 1/100th of a second over Martin Truex Jr. And I thought Truex was had him. Truex was to the inside. Hamlin was to the outside, and if you watch the slow-mo camera, it just got to be where that little bit of momentum, they were rubbing a little bit, but I think if Truex would have leaned on Hamlin just a little more, he might have been able to force Hamlin a little higher to back him off and might have taken the checkered flag, but that wasn't the case. Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500. He won the Unlimited as well. It was a good weekend for Denny. Anyway, started his car number 11th. Truex couldn't start his car number because it's car number 78, but he had Bass Pro Shops and Tracker boats on it. His Toyota, of course, this year, Furniture Row, going to the Toyotas, and guess who they're partnered with? Joe Gibbs Racing. So basically, you had three Gibbs cars in the top three. Kyle Busch finishing third. He didn't get a chance to run ahead of them. Denny Hamlin dominated pretty much all day, leading four times for 95 laps out of the 200 run. Truex led a couple laps, but they were close to the finish. They almost were the ones that counted. And Kyle Busch led twice for 19 laps. The other big lap leader was another Gibbs Toyota, finished 14th. Matt Kenseth led once for 40 laps, So when you put them all together, most of the race was led by a Gibbs Toyota. And the only other leader that had double-digit laps were leaders ahead. They were both Hendrick Chevys. Jimmy Johnson led once for 18, and Dale Jr. led twice for 15. Of course, Dale Jr. always leads laps at Daytona. Just this year wasn't at the end, so he's got a fight ahead of him to make the chase. But he did last year. He should this year, because there's always three more restrictor plate races, two at Talladega and one at Daytona. So Kevin Harvick came home fourth, Edwards fifth, another Joe Gibbs Toyota, Joe Logano sixth, Kyle Larson seventh, eighth was Regan Smith, ninth was Austin Dillon, and 10th was Kurt Busch. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 Toyotas in the top five. Three of them Joe Gibbs team, and the other one is a Joe Gibbs Racing byproduct last year, because last year Truex ran Chevys by RCR. So partnering with Joe Gibbs seemed to help him out a lot yesterday. Of course, going into Atlanta, we'll have to wait and see. And their points right now, Denny Hamlin, of course, he's already in the chase with the win at Daytona. So, and then it's Truex, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson in 7th, 8th, Regan Smith, Austin Dillon, 9th, Kurt Busch, 10th, Ryan Newman, 11th, 12th, Eric Amarola, 13th, Casey Kane, 14th, Kenseth, Michael McDowell, 15th, and Jimmy Johnson, 16th. There's your chase contenders. Look for that to change this coming weekend at Atlanta. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But for right now, if you want to give us a call, talk about what you saw the race was, what you thought about the race, number is 646-649-1899. Let's get a little bit from the winning team and see what they had to say. Here is Joe Gibbs Racing with Denny Hamlin, Joe Gibbs, and crew chief Michael Wheeler.
All right. Well, we have now been joined by our Daytona 500 champion, Denny Hamlin, who's the driver of the number 11 FedEx Express Toyota. Denny, I've got a few facts to run through here for you. This is your first Daytona 500 win and your 27th Sprint Cup Series win. This is the sixth time, and you're the fifth driver to have won the Sprint Unlimited and the Daytona 500 in the same season. This is the first Daytona 500 victory for Toyota, and you did all that with the closest finish in Daytona 500 history. Can you just talk a little bit about what all that means to you?
It's the pinnacle of my career, for sure. I haven't got a championship yet, and so this is obviously the biggest win for myself, and it's just the circumstances. I mean, you know, J.D. Gibbs, who found me about 12, 13 years ago, it's his birthday today. He's been so pivotal to myself and my team and supporting me for the last 11 years. FedEx has been such a huge supporter of me throughout my career. It's very unusual that the driver and the sponsor have such a great relationship like we have, and they stuck by us, and they're so heavily invested in myself and this sport and this race team. So big for them. Obviously, Toyota, it's huge for them getting their first Daytona 500 victory with everything that they've done for this racetrack with that Toyota injector. It's such a huge team victory. Joe Gibbs Racing, he sat over here a week ago and told me all these sidebar races are getting old. Let's go win the real one. And to win it for the Boss after 23 years, there is no better feeling than what I have right now.
All right. We're also
there you have. Denny Hamlin with Joe Gibbs Racing and get his couple words. We're almost at the end of the show. Like I said, head into Atlanta. Closest finish ever in Daytona history. 1/100th of a second. Toyotas, 4 out of the top 5. 3 of them Gibbs Toyotas. 1 of them Gibbs supported Toyota. So either way, Toyota was going to win. They finished 1, 2, 3, and 5. So, but this could be the era of Gibbs. Will Kyle Busch repeat as champion? Hard to say. Could it be Denny Hamlin looking for his first win? Anyway, Daytona 500 is in the books. Probably the cleanest Daytona 500 in history. Not that many cautions, no big one. There's really not more you can look at to say then. And going into Atlanta, who I have to pick, if you want to make a pick this year. That's a tough one to say. If I got to look at it, I would probably have to go with maybe a Gibbs Toyota. Maybe Kyle Busch gets that early win. Of course, this time last year, he was in a hospital, and he didn't come back for the first 11 races and then went on to win his first championship. So maybe next week, I'll have to go with Kyle Busch because I really think due to the start that Gibbs Racing had, of course, Daytona is a different breed of type race as it is. You just have to think about that. But Gibbs Toyota's always run well. And this is the last year for the Roush Fords. And so we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they have anything this year that could do. They're switching to Toyota. And so the only Fords that are competitive really are the Penske ones. Of course, you have the Chevys of Hendrick and, believe it or not, Stuart Haas overshadowing the Richard Childress Chevys, which used to be up front a lot. But I'm going to go out on a limb and pick somebody that wasn't in the race last year and went on to win the championship. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. So that's my pick. If you want, go to my Facebook page or Garage Talk Live Facebook page. Give us a like and make your picks. I'll have mine posted at the end of the show. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Special thanks to my guests, Erica Ender Stevens and Travis Quapple. And, of course, Elite Motorsports and Make Motorsports for allowing their driver to come on our humble little show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. Couldn't tune in now live. You can check out our podcast. It should be up in a little bit. We'll see you all next week. Good afternoon and good racing. Bye now.